episode of Podcastonomics. This is Craig Hewitt from PodcastMotor.com. Today on the show, I'm really excited to bring on Sean D'Souza from The 3 Month Vacation and Psychotactics.com. As you'll hear in the show today, Sean is a real expert in some of the more psychological aspects of selling and connecting with people. In the show today, it really comes out how he takes a very unique approach to podcasting and connecting with people online, whether it be through the shows he puts out and the way he puts them out, but also in a lot of the material he's been putting out in Psychotactics for a long time about how to message and how to market and how to sell to people and how to reach them in a variety of ways. So really interesting conversation here with Sean. Hope you guys enjoy it. And with that, welcome Sean D'Souza. All right, today on the show we have Sean D'Souza. Sean, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you, Greg. Okay.
We like to kind of start the show talking about, how you got into podcasting and what you're doing with your podcast, and a little bit of background to give people some perspective. So do you mind sharing kind of what your podcast is all about?
It's called The 3 Month Vacation, and it's, we've taken a vacation, 3 months off every year since 2004. Not 3 months at a time, but we work for 3 months and then we take a month off and we leave email and all work at home and we just relax. And the thing is that we run a business and others run a business as well, and they are always working and they definitely need a break. So the 3 month vacation is really a business podcast, but it shows you the things that you need to do to get to a vacation, as in it's not nothing to do with the vacation, it's everything to do with the work that gets you to the vacation.
Gotcha. I love that. And it's a very insightful show. I mean, as a listener, I can tell you it's a very sort of insightful show and kind of one of those that makes you go after a lot of the episodes. So how does the show kind of fit in with Psychotactics and your kind of main website and business?
The way that it fits in is we've run Psychotactics since about 2002, and it has always been about articles. And at some point in time, we tried video, but video with any kind of say marketing stuff is just a talking head, and unless you have a lot of graphics and a lot of different angles like you see on TED.com, it becomes very tedious. Podcasting, on the other hand, doesn't require any of that. And it requires music and tone of voice and pace and all those kind of things that you can do just like you did with radio. And it fits in because in the past, I could only write articles. But when you speak to someone, you get a completely different personality across. And so it brings across that personality, that tone of voice. People get to know you on a completely different level.
Yeah, I mean, I like to say that with podcasting, we're reaching new people that you don't reach with a blog just because they're busy or they're more mobile-centric than someone that would want to read a blog, but you also reach them in a different way and the type of content you can share.
Yeah, it's not necessarily different people. You could just reach the same people. A lot of the people that read the blog or buy our courses or do whatever, they also listen to the podcast. It's a different medium of instruction, of getting a point across, and it should be different. I mean, that's the whole point. The point is that, like yesterday, I was trying to take some of the transcript of the podcast and then make it into an article. And it was taking me twice as much time as it would take me to write an article. So that's it. That's almost the hallmark, that it's so different that it doesn't actually fit into the other space. You have to do it completely differently.
And so now, Psychotactics has been around for 12, 13 years. How is, what amount of blog writing are you doing relative to podcasting?
Oh, when you start a project, you don't stop. That's rule number one. You always keep going because the results come 3, 4, 5 years down the line. I mean, you can go online and people can tell you how they got instant success. And I can tell you that either they were lucky, that was a big fluke, but most of the time it's the persistence that really, that momentum, that special lucky thing comes across when you've got this body of work and you're improving your body of work. So when we started writing articles, we started writing them once a month, then twice a month, and now we send out twice a week. And so that stuff still goes, and it has never, ever dropped. And the same thing with the podcast. When I first started podcasting back in 2008, and then we stopped around 2010 or 11, that was not consistent. And this time around, when I decided to do the 3-month vacation, I made sure that I was going to do it week after week consistently and have a very high level of quality. And to me, that's important. I mean, it's the podcast itself is just 17 minutes or 18 minutes long, but it takes about 4 or 5 hours to produce. So there's the music and the storytelling and the stuff that makes people want to stick around and say, well, you know, I would rather listen to this than something else. So you're really fighting, you're not just fighting the blog posts or something else, but you're also looking at other podcasts or other mediums of audio, like an audiobook or radio, for instance.
How did you go? How did you come about the decision to style the show like you did? Because, like you said, it takes a lot of time, very intricate, with lots of effects and transitions and things. It's not like a typical sort of either monologue or interview show. How did the design process of the show and its styling come about?
Well, what you need to do is you need to sit down and make a list. You make a list of like all the stuff that other people are doing, and then you decide, well, that's not what I want to do. So you cancel off all the stuff that you don't want to do. And then you cancel off from the list that you have remaining. You decide, well, you've got 3 or 4 points, and then how can you incorporate that in your show? And that's what I started out when I started the 3-month vacation. I looked at all the other podcasts, and all the other podcasts, they had mostly interviews. So I decided I'm not going to do an interview. And then most of them, they had music, but the music was this background music that didn't play a very big role in the podcast. It was just there as a filler. And so we decided to bring out the music to a greater extent. I mean, it's there. It's not just there in the background. It's an integral part of the podcast itself. You know, if the music were missing, you'd know. It's that important. We then looked at the pace of the podcast, and you will notice that it follows a specific pace, which is less, it is more conversational, and it has a lot of white space, as designers call it, so breathing space. So after something is said, it's not like we rush on to the next point. So there's lots of breathing space as well. And so there is all this kind of design element that makes that podcast. The other is the structure. So we always cover 3 points, but the 3 points are just about one thing. So we're talking about, say, you know, how to write a sales, how to write an email based on a testimonial, you know, how to write a great email based on a testimonial that you've got. Well, it's only going to be about that one topic. We're not going to go into several other topics. And so that allows us to drill down, and then at the end of it, you get just one action point. So all of this is really design. And while, yes, you could spend months trying to design it, I would suggest that you have these 3 or 4 points that make you different in some way, and then you roll out and then you fix as you go along.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I think the biggest barrier that I see in our business is people being afraid to get started, especially with the show they're doing by themselves. I think either an interview show or a show with a guest host is a lot easier because you get to sort of bounce the energy back and forth between you and the person you're talking to. And, you know, kudos and hats off to you for having the ability and the confidence to do a show by yourself, even if it's 17 or 18 minutes, I think it's pretty difficult to do. I mean, when I do solo shows, it's pretty difficult.
Yes, but even if you did interviews, like say we were going to do an interview show, now I would look at all the interview shows and then make a list of all the stuff that they did. And then I would do something different, because eventually you definitely want the person to look at it. So for instance, when you look at the TED Radio Hour, for instance, they take three segments and they take three speakers, and then they have a very clear format in it. If I were to do an interview show, for instance, I would say we're going to do an interview show called Sticky Business Books. Now, that means that we're not just doing an interview with everyone. You need to have a book, and the book needs to be related to business. And I need to have read the book so I can ask you questions from that chapter. So now I can go into the author's mind and start to explore the book from a completely different angle than, say, just show up on an interview show and go, okay, I've got eight questions, and I'm going to ask every author the same questions.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that shows a lack of preparation, and it doesn't bring out that uniqueness in your show.
So speaking of uniqueness, can you talk a little bit about, again, back to the content and the styling, sort of the final points and the call to action at the end of your episodes and kind of how you went about crafting that structure?
I don't think that you can actually think of what you want to do, because it's like getting some clay in your hand and you have to make a pot. It's very, very difficult to figure it out. So the way to do it is to just get started and do a few. Like, you look at one of the shows, 99% Invisible. Today it's one of the, it's in the top 10 or 15. But what you want to do is you want to go back to episode one. And episode one was only 5 minutes long. And episode one was really very dull. And episode 15 was very dull. And, over time, it got some heart into it. It got some perspective into it. And today it's they've gone into making a whole radio station, as it were, like Radiotopia. I think that if you're in marketing or you've studied marketing, it's probably easier to get that uniqueness factor. But the key element is to make that list of the things that you don't want. That is critical, because that enables you to see what you want. And then you want to start. And you want to hope that the first 20 shows or 30 shows are really bad or not as good as you expect. But then you're tweaking. You're listening to other podcasts. What did they do, and how did they? So I take little elements from here or there and put it into the podcast. That's how you go about it. That's how you make yours unique. That's how you get it. You get a personality, as it were.
Yeah, I think iterating over time is something that I am fearful, and I think other people probably are too, because they think that their audience has become attached to a certain format, or like you said, a certain amount of music or style of music, and that switching it up, they would lose their audience. But I see podcasting as something that is very competitive these days and is getting more and more competitive all the time. And the things that people can do, if you take the analogy from blogging and say, the best blogs are the ones that have a very unique voice and a very certain voice. You know what Pat Flynn talks about every time. It's his business, also his family and his values, and that's very predictable. And I think that getting the same out of a podcast is important without blending in with the crowd, and changing that over time is a fair way to define your voice, but also sort of differentiate yourself from everyone else.
You have to work out what you don't want, what everyone else is doing. I mean, I do a lot of interviews for different podcasts, and they've got the same. I mean, I could do this in my sleep, I have to actually, they'll ask me, what was your greatest success? What was your greatest failure? It's like they got a script from someone. And then to amuse myself, I have to come up with questions. I mean, I have to come up with answers that were different from last time. Not that anyone is going to listen to, you know, the third or fourth podcast where I've answered the same questions, but I mean, it really shows that you're not that interested. I don't think that you should really get into podcasting if you're not going to be interested in the other person's opinion or you're actually going to learn something from them. It is, unless, and this is why, like, for instance, I talk about the business books. I would want to read that person's book. Like, I would want to figure out, you know, one specific chapter, hone in on that one chapter, really get into that person's mind so that they go, wow, I didn't know that I wrote so much good stuff in that book. You know, so at the end of it, they have a greater sense of respect for you, and you have now created an alliance in a way, and you've learned something and they've learned something about themselves. And this is so much different from asking eight generic questions and you don't even know who the host is and you're just going to ask the eight questions and then you're going to put it on the podcast. It might succeed for people who have done it several years ago and it's worked for them, but I don't think it's going to work for you.
So what's the best question you've ever gotten? The question that drew out the most emotion and feeling and relayed the most about you and what you do to the people listening to that show?
I think the best question that anyone can ask is a question that is related exactly to what I've said the minute before. So if I'm talking about something, yesterday I did a podcast interview with a guy and he was following the thread. So if I said something like, and this is how we go about teaching and we remove intimidation, and then he goes, well, tell me a little bit more about intimidation. And this is what people do, you know, when you look at the professionals on television, this is what they do. They don't just stick with the script. So the best question that you're always going to get is the question, and I know I'm not answering your question, but the best question is always based on what the person has just said. Yeah. And you're following the thread.
Well, I think it's a perfectly good answer to the question, I think. And the question, I hope that question was following the thread pretty closely, but I agree and compliment your answer because I think that a typical canned question doesn't follow the thread and the dialogue that you're trying to create with somebody.
Right.
I don't listen to those shows, to your point of the people that ask the same eight questions every time, because it's really, once you've listened to five episodes, you've kind of heard everything. You can't have interesting guests on that have such different answers to those eight questions.
Yeah, I mean, and it shows complete lack of respect for the other person's time. I mean, it's like, you don't know anything about me. You just showed up. You haven't done any research on the website. It just shows a lack of respect. And from your perspective, what are you going to learn? So you learned eight different things. Great. So what are you? Why have you spent half an hour or 45 minutes with that person? What's in it for you?
Yeah, yeah. So getting into, sort of like the evolution of podcasting in your show, I guess, what do you see the world of podcasting a little bit, I guess, but specifically, what are your goals and kind of ambitions for the 3-month vacation?
The first goal is to have fun. I really enjoy doing the podcast. You can tell when you listen to the podcast. I have like a few hundred pieces of music. I'm looking at like, how can I make this sound really good? So my goal is to enjoy myself. If I didn't enjoy my podcasting, I would stop it. That's what I did with YouTube. I didn't enjoy it very much. I was sitting there, someone was shooting. Well, it got boring after a while. So it needs to be something that you're doing on a consistent basis. But our goal is also to give the client a different perspective. When I speak, I tend to speak at 3 words a second, which is, you know, in a podcast, you'll have in 17 minutes, you can cover 2,500 words. It's very difficult to cover that kind of. When you're writing a blog post, you're not going to write 2,500 words, and no one's going to read it in 17 minutes. And that's the difference. So the tone, the voice, the people get to know you in a different way. but from your perspective as well, you're having fun. And we have seen direct results from it. People will listen to podcasts and they've been on our list, and then they'll go and buy a product or come to a workshop and stuff like that. I was at a workshop in Washington, D.C., which we had on information products, how to create information products. And I asked in the room of 25 people, I said, how many of you listen to the podcast? And more than 50% of them were listening to the podcast. So that kind of tells you that if you put out a good product, there are people listening, and those people are coming to your events and they're buying your products.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in general, most would say that podcast listeners are the most, or definitely in the highest 50% engagement rate of their audience.
Yes, because you can listen to podcasts while doing pretty much anything. I mean, there are people who don't like audio, and in a way, we're trying to make them like it, because there's too much information. You really have to distill the information down to two or three points, and like we do in our podcast, it's just this one thing that you have to do today.
Yeah, awesome. All right, Sean, well, I think we're going to wrap it up there. We try to keep these episodes real short and to the point, similar to your show. So kind of in wrapping up, can you tell folks where they can go kind of find out more about the 3-month vacation and everything else you're up to?
You can find the 3-month vacation on iTunes, and you can find it on Android as well. So on Android, it's at Stitcher. So just search for 3-month vacation, and there's a really cool gift that we give away as well. So if you go to psychotactics.com/resistance, you get a free book on how to get past the resistance so that you can actually do your podcast and then continue that podcast. The resistance thing really attacks why we get resistant. And it's not because we're lazy, but there are other factors as well. So go there. It's psychotactics.com/resistance.
Awesome. Sean, thanks so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that talk with Sean D'Souza from the 3-month vacation and psychotactics.com. If you guys want to learn more about Sean, head over to the show notes for this episode. They'll be at podcastmotor.com/episode7. Thanks so much, Sean, for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. Anybody who wants to learn more about podcasting and some of the things we talked about with Sean today, I've distilled into a pretty concise little email course. Head over to podcastmotor.com, sign up for the email course. It comes in over the course of a couple of weeks, and I think it really touches on all the really important things that you need to put out a really wonderful podcast. So, we at Podcast Motor, we've been putting out a couple hundred shows now for various clients, and I think we've learned a lot of things along the ways about what a really good show is and what it sounds like and what it looks like. So we've distilled all that down into a free email course for you guys. Head over and sign up at podcastmotor.com and get some of that insight that we've learned, in some cases, the hard way. So head over there, sign up. I think you'll really get a lot out of it. We'll see you next time.